So first things first, why do a study talking about our bodies? There are lots of other things going on in this world, lots of other topics we could have talked about and tackled. Why this? Why this? And really, it's been birthed out of, I would say, 3.5 years of being a church. I have had countless conversations with people, members, people who've kind of passed through, really just fighting this tension of, hey, here's what I know what I should be doing as a Christian, but here's kind of what I actually want to do. Kind of this tension of like, okay, I know the right answers, I know the right things to say, but in reality, like there's this disconnect between to the mind and the heart. And so the equipping class, the purpose of this is I want to lean into that tension. I want us to go ahead and talk about the areas, some of the areas of our lives where we know the right answers, but also don't quite like want them to walk in the right answers. Because the reality is, like, all of us in this room who are followers of Jesus, like, we know, man, there's a day that's coming where Jesus is going to return. He's going to restore and make all things new. The brokenness we feel, the pain we feel, all those things eventually be wiped away. But that day is not today. That day is, it could be today. I don't know. That'd be kind of cool. I'd be down with that. But right, but it's not today. So the reason why we want to do this class is like I want us to be a people, really that is growing in their longing for Jesus, that we're growing in this just anticipation for his coming, and that reality affects our present, like what we do day to day, and specifically affects what we do with our bodies, what we do with our life, and so. I want to lean in to the tension. I want us to talk about it. I want us to address it. And again, so much, I mean, we can only cover so much in 5 weeks. But really the hope for us as a church, the moment that we're in is like that we begin to open up the door. That's what we're doing. We're opening up the door. We're beginning the conversation, knowing that there will be conversations ahead. So just kind of to what to expect. So it's going to be a 5 week class. Week today and next week are really going to be laying the foundation. Today, I want to talk about this longing a little bit more. What is it that we were longing for, and how does it actually speak to our original design? And then next week, we're going to talk a little bit more about that tension, the tension of the spirit and the flesh. And then weeks 3 through 5, I want to talk specifically about some areas where we feel that tension. So we're going to talk about biblical sexuality. We're going to talk about suffering, sickness, and disease. We're going to talk about honestly like comfort, because comfort and complacency are these things that aren't necessarily bad in of themselves, but the reality is like they can easily distract us from how the Lord has called us. So anyways, so that's what we're going to do. That's the lay of the land for the next few weeks. And so again, two primary things that are the goals for our time for this class is one, that this is a space in which we grow in our longing for Jesus. Kind of already said that. Number two is that we see this as a space to grow together in that. That we come and talk about the tension together. That we wrestle together, that we're free, that we see that this space is a moment we can bring the moment that we're in to the table. Because my belief is if we can't talk about these things at the church, then where else can we talk? If the church isn't the place where we can address the mess and tension of our lives, where else are we going to go? That's actually going to speak truth. So those are my goals. Long for Jesus. Grow together in that. And so that's my preamble. That's the preamble to the whole series. Let's jump in. Genesis chapter 1, if you got your Bibles. So as you're turning there, so I think it's a pretty obvious statement whenever I say that our bodies are oftentimes a source of pain. We get injured, we get tired, We get cravings from sin that we know we aren't supposed to have. We get sick. I mean, I know flu season right now is terrible. I hope y'all have not been affected by that. But right, so we know that our bodies can be a huge source of pain in lots of different ways. But in the same breath, our bodies can also be a source of gratitude. It's also in them we experience good things. It's in them we get to taste really good food and drink really good coffee, though I've heard complaints already about the coffee tonight. Not going to name any names, Tracy. But no, right? But it, like, we experience good things. We get to see cool things. We get to enjoy life through them. And so while this tension is of both good and bad, Scripture would frame our bodies, the physical reality of our life, as a good thing. Unlike any other thing made in this creation, we are the only ones made in the image of God. Humans, man and woman, are the only ones who bear God's image. And while this does speak to more than the physical part of us, that word image is likeness, and it's not just our physical part. It's also not less than. Sam Alberry, who's a pastor in Nashville, he says it like this. He says, our bodies are part of bearing the image of God because Christ has a body. It's not neutral to being an image bearer, but it is an actual part of what it means to be created in God's likeness. So the physical reality of our body is a part of, like, just us being image bearers of God, which nothing else in creation can say. So Genesis 1, I want to read quick. I'm going to read verses 27 through 31, and I want to highlight some things. But one of the things I want, as we're reading through, take note. What word is repeated? Take note of of what word you notice, or a variation of that word being used. I'm starting in verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit you shall have for them. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. What was the repeated word that y'all noticed? There are several. Can you get into my brain? Maybe that's the question. Every. It's almost this kind of this word that you just really bypass, but every or everything. And here's why that's significant. So the refrain from Genesis 1 and 2 is that creation was good. Everything that God made was good. And a little backdrop on the book of Genesis in its entirety. Moses wrote Genesis. He actually wrote the first five books of the Bible. And really, his primary audience was Israel, and he's writing to help them see that who they were as God's people and their identity and how they were to live. And so Genesis 1 and 2 is helping them see their origins of like, how do they begin? And what's really, really interesting, when we say that everything was good, what that means is that there was nothing yet unclean. There was nothing tainted by sin. So clean and unclean was a really big thing with Israel and the law. Nothing was unclean. Nothing was tainted by sin yet. So even the dirt, the dust that God used to make mankind, to make Adam and Eve, was good. So what that says then is that the point of all that is that the origin of our bodies is not brokenness, but beauty. Like, the origin of God making us is not like in this infallible way. Like, we weren't broken. Brokenness is not our origin, but rather like goodness, not weakness. And ultimately, the context in which man was created was in union with God, relationship with God, perfect harmony with him. And so we know that eventually that's not the case. Genesis 3 happens. sin enters into the world. And when sin enters into the world, that perfect union that we had with God is fractured by sin. And we'll be jumping into Genesis 3 a little bit more next week, but I think it's important to our conversation today, because the reality is, though the origin of our bodies is not brokenness, it's what we experience today in so many ways. But the good news is that God did not just end it at Genesis 3 and once he kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden, it wasn't like, all right, humankind is never going to be in my presence again. That's not true. What's the good news of the gospel, right? Jesus, right? We see in 2 Corinthians 5:21, which is one of my favorite verse, Paul says that he became sin who knew no sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. Meaning, when we put our faith in Christ, when we repent of our sins, we turn from our way to him being the Lord of our lives, turn from our own ways to him, we're reconciled. We're given his righteousness, meaning we're now in perfect relationship and harmony with him again. We're entering back into our original design of union with him. And Paul also says in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 5 is that because of that, then we are now new creations. And as new creations, as followers of Jesus, there's now two realities that are happening to us simultaneously. Go ahead and flip over to 2 Corinthians now, chapter 4. So there's two realities now that are happening to us as believers that are now new creations, sons and daughters, in this room, daughters. I guess me too. So, yes.
Can we do a blank review or do we do it at the end?
Because
I think I've missed
something. We can do it. Does anyone need a...
Yeah, go for it.
All right. We can stop, yeah. All right. All right, so here's the order. I'll just give the word order because like they're mixed into my notes. But so first one's pain, second one's gratitude. Our bodies can be a source of pain, but also a source of gratitude. Nothing yet was unclean. The physical part of us. All right. So then nothing was unclean yet. Unclean is the next one. The origin of our physical bodies is not brokenness, but beauty. And that's where we're at. So. Yeah. All right, so we are entering, I'll say on your handout, we're entering the middle section. They're entering the middle section, says we are being renewed. That's where we're at. Cool. Thank y'all for slowing me down and trying to like, all right, Brian, your brain is like going a million miles an hour. So rein me in. So I
know you're doing
great. So, all right, we good?
Yeah.
All right, so you're good. New creation, two things are happening to us at the same time. Let me read 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. I'll read it one more time. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. So what's the two realities that are happening to us simultaneously? Our outer self, which is talking about our physical part, is wasting away. And then our inner self is being renewed day by day. And so I want to actually talk about both of those for just a second. So let's start with the outer self. Again, a big part of that is as obvious as it sounds. We know that from the moment we're born, we're on a trajectory to die. Very morbid. Yes. But right, we know that our outer self, as time goes on, we just can't do the same things that we can do when we were 20. I know we got some young bucks in here. Like, y'all are invincible. But there will be a day, I am sorry, where you will not be able to do the things that you once did. And so really, this outer self wasting away, that word wasting away actually means to change for the worse. That's what that word it literally means. And so that's a part of it. But there's actually another part of this idea of wasting away. So the context of 2 Corinthians 4 is Paul's talking about the persecutions and the afflictions and all the different things that he's going through because of his following of Jesus. Because he follows Jesus, he feels the physical toll on his body. You can look in, I believe it's 2 Corinthians 11, or I think it's 2 Corinthians 11 or 1 Corinthians 11. He actually lists out all the different things that he had to experience. And so the reality is, what the point that he's making is, yes, your outer self is wasting away because of the natural progression of life. But your outer self is also going to waste away because we live in a world that is ruled by the enemy. Like 1 John 5:19, I believe, says, John says that literally the world, the powers of the world are ruled by the evil one. And so the point is, following Jesus will take its toll on us because we're in an environment that's not for us. Does that make sense? And so that's a part of this wasting away, is that we're in an environment, ultimately, that's not our true home. We're in a temporary dwelling. See? See what we're doing there? So if that's all there was, all right, y'all, let's pray. Y'all breaking discussion. That would be kind of discouraging. But that's not it. That's not everything. So while the temporary part of us, our physical bodies, is wasting away, the eternal part of us, the inner self, is actually being renewed day by day. And then that word renewed is actually like to where wasting away means to change for the worse. You could almost define renewed as changing for the better. It's almost like this opposite type language that Paul is using. And so all throughout the refrain of 2 Corinthians, though, 4 and 5 specifically, Paul uses this refrain of like, hey, don't lose heart. Like, be of good courage. Because the reality is, when we feel the pains of our outer self wasting away, it can be super easy to be discouraged, right? Like when we feel sin constantly banging at our door and it just we keep giving and getting it, like that's discouraging. Or when our bodies break down in some kind of way, or we get hurt or we get injured or we get sick, like that can be discouraging. But he's saying that actually this outer self wasting away, it's not for nothing. It's actually preparing us for something. Look in verses 17 and 18. He says, "For this light and momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not only to the things that are seen, but also to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." So the afflictions that we experience are actually preparing us for something, and that something is eternal glory. That's a blank, by the way. So I'm learning. That's a blank. Yeah. So it's this, the reality is, our inner self is being transformed, is being renewed into the image of Jesus. So if we're brought into the family because of Christ, and we're reconciled to the Father, we're reconciled and brought in, to his family, then the reality is that inner self is not being renewed, is not just a general like, hey, I'm just being renewed to be a better person. I'm not just being renewed so I can behave better. We're being renewed towards the image of Jesus. Christ, as Paul would say, is like Jesus is the head and we're growing up into his image. So that he is the direction of where we're going. He is the direction of our renewal. It's to Christ's likeness. And I love the language of day by day that he uses in verse 16, because what that means is that regardless if you've been following Jesus for 1 month, 1 year, 50 years, 1 million years, I don't think that's anybody in this room. We always need to grow. There's never a point in our Christian life where we are stop growing. You're like, all right, I'm good. I think I got it. If you feel that way, don't. We constantly are being renewed. Now, here's another part of this. That inner renewal will impact our physical realities. Our inner renewal will impact what we do with our bodies. It was a very Gnostic kind of belief, and you kind of see it in some ways today, that the physical is bad, the spiritual is good. Like the reality is, no, God, like God made our bodies. The physical aspect is not a bad thing. Like we don't detach from the physical as we're being renewed. We actually experience renewal within our bodies. Again, it changes what we look for. It changes what we hope in. It changes how we live our lives, how we orient our lives. So this inner renewal impacts what we do. Ray Orland, I like how he said it. He says it like this, and I think this quote's actually on your handout. He says, when we yield to God, we don't lose our bodies. And so what this inner renewal is supposed to do is it's actually supposed to take our taste buds for the world and make it all of a sudden taste a lot like mushrooms. Unless you like mushrooms, which I'm sorry, I don't like mushrooms. So that analogy works for me. It may not work for you. Whatever is something gross, right? Whatever is gross to you. Amen. Right? That's the point. Our taste buds for the world are supposed to go away to where our taste buds for Jesus grows. And it's as it grows, there's this refusal to let the ways of the world, the methods of the world, how the world does things, to shape us and form us. That's the work of the Spirit now. And so Paul actually doubles down on this in verses 1 through 5 of chapter 5. And so we're actually moving into that kind of final section. Let me read those verses for us. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. And so Paul is highlighting, so he highlighted first in chapter 4 that this, the direction we're going is towards Christ. We're being renewed in his image. But because we live in a world that is not our home, like we're going to long for home. I mean, have y'all ever been on like a vacation that was just a lot of fun, really good, but then towards the end of it, you're just like, all right, I'm ready for home. I'm ready to be in my own bed. I'm ready to eat my own food. I'm ready to see my dog again or anything like that. So we know the feeling, a lot of us. And that's the kind of what Paul is getting at here. He calls our bodies a tent. Again, a tent is but a temporary dwelling. He calls our bodies a tent, and he says that in these tents we groan. And the purpose of why we groan is because we're not home yet. It's because as we're growing in this longing for Jesus, we're tasting and experiencing more of him in this life. What that does, it takes away the taste of the world, which then, when we're still in the world, makes us long to be with Jesus. We long to be at home with him. And so the reality is that we live in tension. It's hard to long for Jesus when we still see the brokenness of sin around us. But he also, in this text, he gives a promise. Look in verses 6 through 9. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. But yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home for the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. In verse 8, it's kind of singing, but there's this promise. Like there's this promise of like eventually, like when we are with God, like we will be home. There's this promise that we will have resurrected bodies, and in them we will no longer feel the pain that we feel now. The pain of sickness we won't feel. The pain of relational dysfunction, we won't feel. The pain that comes from falling into sin time and time and time and time and time again. Pain from the world hating us and living in an environment that is against us. Like the pain and brokenness that we feel in these temporary bodies won't be the case when we are resurrected with him and we're at home with the Lord, because we'll have these new bodies, these resurrected bodies in which we'll be perfect. We'll get to perfectly experience this union with the Father. And we go back, and it's what we were designed for when we look back in Genesis 1. And so, in the meantime, we wait. Right? We wait. And so, as we wait, though, the hope is that we have our eyes continually fixed on where we're going. And I think Revelation 21, verses 1 through 5, gives a beautiful picture of that. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who is seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" This is the hope. This is what we're longing for. This is where we are going. It's to be at home with Jesus. And the beautiful thing is, as we are being renewed day by day, we get to get tastes of this. We get to get glimpses. We get to experience the work of the Spirit now. Our salvation isn't just, okay, one day I'll get to go to heaven. We get to experience salvation now in part, but in one day it'll be in full. And so that's the thing. As we wait, as we are in these tents, the posture that we need to continue to take as believers is that of one of continual surrender. Growth and growing in our taste buds for Jesus will only happen by when we surrender and what we think we want is best for us and trust him with our lives. And that is a process. That is a one step, trust the Lord. One step, trust the Lord. And so, but again, my hope and prayer for us is that as a church, that this room right here, that we would see that our daily like realities, our physical realities, what we do with our bodies will be impacted when we have our eyes fixed on Jesus, who is our true home, who is our true family. And so I'm going to pray and then y'all are going to talk. So really quick, before I do, any blanks? At home. So I didn't specify that one, but cool. And really, if y'all want like my actual notes, I will give them. You can email me, I'll give them to you if you really want to do that. So you just have to be able to pick my brain and understand what I'm saying. But let me pray for y'all's time and then we'll jump in. I'll jump in. God, thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you, God, that you are kind. Thank you, Lord, for these women who are just, I know, eager just to know you, Lord. God, would you allow these discussions, allow this space just to be sacred and allow it to just and be encouraging. God, would you help everyone in this room believe the good news of Jesus, that regardless of where they're at today, if their faith is in Christ, you got them. You see them, you know them, you love them, and you're for them, and you're working in them. And so God, bless this time. Use it to encourage and build up your church. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Awesome, y'all.